from last night as they were able to pull off the upset against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yay! Final was 24-19. We've been talking about it all morning.
That's outstanding.
Are we done? Was that our bowl game then? We got to play them in 2 weeks.
No, you got 2 weeks from there. You got Kansas City at home. That's going to be a good time. You might have Taylor. May show up for Taylor.
I wouldn't be surprised if Taylor shows up. Come on.
Might have to show up for Taylor.
Might see a lot of black and gold again, too. Cleveland Heights. Just saying.
But, like, you've got a couple of these still on there. Like, look, are they making the playoffs? No. But can you be a respectable NFL football team? Yes, you played like it last night. And really, that's where my bar is right now. Be a respectable, watchable NFL football team. And yeah, was the beginning of the season, were the expectations a lot higher? Yeah, they were a hell of a lot higher. But this is the reality of our situation.
I don't know. I'm just happy today. I'm tired today too. Please, you can't tell me you're not tired after last night's game. That took a lot out of all of us. We didn't play one single down, but I got to tell you that it stretched me to the limit, especially in the fourth quarter. You're like, all right, they're winning. Oh yeah, they're they've got the lead by one. Ooh. Ouch. Wait a minute. What? They're coming back. Okay. Oh, no. That just happened. Oh, wait. They're getting the ball back. All right. We'll take it. How many timeouts? Hey, they got that first down. Touchdown, Chubb! There, I just gave you all the highlights from the game. Congratulations.
Thank you for the cliff notes of the football game.
That's all it was. That's who I am.
We appreciate that ever so much.
We had to call them basket notes is what we should call them.
So... And I got to say, the thing that stood out to me more than anything in that game was Jameis. And the reason that it was is because I don't know if Jameis had ever played in a snow game. Jameis claims he never played in one in the NFL before.
Never played against the Steelers before.
He never played against the Steelers, and he never played against a game that was a snow game like that. He came out and looked really good in that snow game. It didn't deter him. It didn't, you know, do anything differently. Yes, fans, I agree with you. They probably should have ran the ball a little bit more than they did. And there were a couple times in there that they should have ran the ball.
Why they won? Who cares? They won.
I thought Jameis did really well. And it leads me to continue to believe that maybe, just maybe, you can thread this needle that we're all dying to do, where you don't tear this roster down and instead are able to kind of retool on the fly with a bridge quarterback and Jameis Winston and make this bad boy work, where you are a wild card team going into next year while still carrying the burden of the Watson contract.
All right. Madison Williams had a story last night before the game. Go ahead, finish it.
Do you see that as a path, or am I completely off my rocker?
Give me the path one more time, the quick road.
Where you could thread the needle,
yeah,
of having Jameis Winston as your bridge quarterback.
Yeah.
For 2 to 3 years, give or take,
yep,
in there.
Yeah.
While you still remain a contending team without having to completely revamp this roster.
Absolutely. He's definitely your bridge. If you're going to draft a quarterback next year in a year where it seems like quarterbacks are down, well, then you definitely need a bridge quarterback. And he seems to be the guy. But this is really weird that Pat McAfee had this yesterday. We are going to witness history tonight. This will be the first game that Jameis Winston has played in temperature below 40 degrees in his NFL career. I believe Mike Lombardi said that.
Well, it makes sense.
Yesterday was the first time that Jameis Winston had played in a game under 40 below.
It makes sense. He played in Tampa and he played in the Dome in New Orleans.
It's true. Huh. How about that? He's never been anywhere north. This is why I'm looking forward to the college football playoffs, to see some of these.
It's going
to
be so much fun.
To see some of these warm weather teams coming
up. I'm so ready to watch Alabama have to come north.
It is a Browns Therapy Friday, a Victory Friday. Keith is in Jacksonville, Florida, where it's warm. How are you, Keith?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. Is it warm down there?
It's 60 degrees, but these people down here, they're in coats, they're in hoodies. You wouldn't believe it.
It's weak. They gotta tough it up a little bit.
I was watching that game last night, and I love it. I was telling everyone in my department, and they said, I don't know how you guys do it out there. But hot take real quick.
Sure.
For the pick of the draft for the Browns quarterback, Cam Ward, what do you guys think?
Dan, you want that first or no?
I don't want a quarterback in this draft. I just don't. right now, it is so easy for everybody, and we all know how this is going to go. The machine is going to start cranking. You're going to get to the Senior Bowl, and you're going to hear all this stuff. You're going to get to the Shrine Game, and you're going to hear, oh, Shedeur Sanders really impressing coaches with his ability to comprehend what they're trying to get him in the Shrine Game. And then you're going to get to the Senior Bowl, and it's going to be this quarterback is doing this. And, like, I'm good. They're all projects. This is the project quarterback year. If you take a quarterback in this draft, you basically, the entire fan base of whoever's taking it in the first round of this draft needs to realize that whoever you take should not see the field in year one. That's this quarterback draft.
Athlon Sports, 2 days ago, Cam Ward predicted to replace struggling $230 million quarterback.
I'm good. He's fun to... I'll watch him more this weekend. I haven't watched a ton of Miami. I need to watch a little bit more. But boy, from everything I've read and all the smart people you hear from, they're like, just don't. Not this year.
216-474-0092, Browns Therapy Friday, Victory Friday. Chuck in a car. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
Tired, but invigorated.
Yeah, I'm not crying. Like, I'm exhausted. Does anybody else feel like I'm just absolutely exhausted and I did nothing to walk around the stadium?
I couldn't get to sleep. So a friend of mine texts me before the game. He's been watching the Browns longer than I have, like since 1964. And he
ooh,
says,
his resume trumps yours. Yep, I can feel it. Yep.
Yeah, so he says, I've never been more disinterested in a Browns game. By the end of it, he texted me, gosh, I wish I was there.
That's awesome.
What a swing of emotions.
Yeah. Kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
Oh,
and
it really does.
So nice to see Chubb get in that same end zone that he hurt himself a year ago. Man, to watch him go upright, not get tackled, and score.
Wasn't that in Pittsburgh?
Thrilling.
I think that was in Pittsburgh, right? The Chubb injury?
Okay.
Yeah, the Chubb injury was in Pittsburgh. You.
It's all right. It was good.
Side of the field.
It was good, though, what he did last night.
Yeah. No, it was awesome that he was able to... I mean, I hate saying get revenge, but it was awesome that he could come full circle. You know, that was cool. And it had to be cool.
So they were
him.
showing highlights from the first half of the game.
Yep.
And, you know, the grass was grass at that point, and everybody was clean. And I was looking at that highlight and thinking, what game is this? Is this from last year? Because that was the tale of two halves, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, but the weird part is, the offense happened in the snow, not in the clear weather. Right? It was, what, 10? It was 10-3 at the half.
When it started getting
and then,
slick.
Yeah, and then it started, you know, all the snow came in the second half, and you had, what, 20, I'm not good at math, 20, I'm so tired right now, 6, 26, just 30 points in the second. Guess. Is that right, 30 points in the second half?
Just guess.
Well, let's order up some more of that.
All right, I'll
absolutely
take it. All right, well, that brings us to our next topic. You want to order up some more snow?
All right, let's start upsetting people.
You want to do this?
Let's do it.
All right.
I'll go out there first.
You want to jump in the pool?
Hell yeah.
Are you
I'm
on the
still
diving
building
board?
The stupid. I'm building the dome. I'm still building it. I know last night was fun. You know what's also fun? Not getting hypothermia. That's really fun. You know, it's also really fun not having to walk out of your house looking like Randy from A Christmas Story. That's really fun.
You keep going?
You know, it's also really fun?
Tell me.
Watching your quarterback from Alabama throw to the wide receiver from South Florida with the running back from Georgia play in a neutral field where their abilities can truly be showcased instead of with the wind whipping all over the place that any kicker besides Phil Dawson has never been able to truly figure out inside of that stadium. Build the dome. I know the snow globe was fun. And if you're somebody who was at the game in the snow globe and is still saying build and is still saying keep that stadium where it is, I'd love to hear from you. Because everybody that I heard from in the post game show, we were flat out asking them, hey, where'd you watch the game? At home. Oh, you like the snow? You want to keep the snow where it is? Where were you for that? I was at the bar. Where were you? I was on a plane. None of them were in that building.
All right, let me tell you how a lot of people are perceiving what you're saying, Dan. That you're soft, you're weak, you don't understand. Let me finish.
Fine.
You're soft, you're weak, you don't understand the glory that is the AFC North as we'll sit and we would watch Baltimore. we would watch Cincinnati and we would watch Pittsburgh be able to play outside in the elements while perhaps you'd be stuck indoors. And that maybe perhaps that the stadium is the place where they should stay. And that the weather last night is the only reason that the Browns won. And that, you know, you're not really a Browns fan if you can't sit through that snow like you did last night and cheer and have a couple libations to keep you warm on the inside. But the cold never affected you. Just like, who's the what's her name?
Elsa?
Elsa, yeah, Elsa. You're Elsa. The cold never bothered you anyway. Anyway, those are true Browns fans. I think those are the ones that are sitting up this morning going, I'm not paying for a dome. I don't want anything to do with a dome. We won that game because it was not inside a dome. And to you, I say, bring on the dome, man. I would have rather been inside last night.
Call Detroit. Ask them how heartbroken they are that they don't have to play in this. Call Minnesota. Ask them how heartbroken all of them are that they don't have to play in the massive snowstorm that's hitting there.
If I hear one more time, they played in a snow globe last night. Good. Let somebody else play in the snow. Let them do it. I just if they can get to the dome, get to the dome. I love hearing this game is 100% a reason why the Browns will never play in a dome.
Oh, you saw
that? That's why they will never play in a dome because of last night's game. Open your eyes, man. They're going to the dome.
Oh, last night they're going to the dome.
I'm telling you.
It was hysterical, the amount of people who were like, this is why you can't have a dome in Cleveland. Oh, well, where'd you watch the game? L.A. You can't build a dome in Cleveland.
Are you
that's
trying?
AFC North football. Oh, that's where did you watch it? At home.
That was true grit football last night. I'm still wet from last night's game, man. I've been stunned. You know what I did? I took my hoodie from last night that I had over my head that it was snowing on, and I didn't care, and I had snow going down the back of my – because that's what football fans really do, tough football fans. They feel it. They get it. They want it. They need it. They got to have the snow. That's why the Browns won last night, because of the snow. Because the elements, Mother Nature, wanted the Browns to beat this. Even Mother Nature's on our side. She's mad we're thinking about going into a dome. See you later, Mother Nature. I'm about to move out of the house. Bring on the dome. What did last night's game do for you as far as playing in a dome? 216-474-0092. We're going to have fun. And I think we poked the bear just a little bit last segment. Obviously, big win for the Browns, and snow was a big part of the game. I mean, it happens, you know, at least once a year. Where there's a game that's probably decided by weather or it gets really cold. Like I can remember last year, was it the Saints game?
Oh,
that was crazy.
Crummy Saints game.
Oh. Because there were so many people that wanted to be at that game. There's so many people. I mean,
it's bad when both of us make the same exact noise
I think there was 1.7 million people that crowded into the stadium for that Saints game because it was just the perfect football conditions.
That was Tobias Funke numbers. And by that, I mean, there were dozens of them. Dozens. Dozens who weren't able to move any appendage for the next couple of days.
216-474-0092. What did that do for the dome argument? By the way, there is no argument. The dome is coming. But go ahead, make your argument. I want to hear it. Maybe you can change my mind. Not sure. 216-474-0092. What did last night's game do for folks that are pro or anti-dorm? Dorm. Well, man, I'm going back to college. Mike is in Highland Heights. Hi, Mike. How are you?
How are you, Mike?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
We're awesome. Well. I'm glad they won. They beat the Steelers. That's all that matters, right?
Man, that was a great game.
It was
great
fun. Game. It was. If they would have lost, would it have been a great game?
Yeah, I think.
I think it was fun.
I think it still would have been a fun.
I still think it was fun, yeah. I was trying to get my – I was convincing myself when they were losing 19-18. I'm like, okay, so Andy, remind yourself this is fun. This is fun. Okay.
Well, the last pick scared me a little bit. That kind of bothered me. It upset me. But as far as the dome goes, man, I remember going down to old Muni Stadium.
There we go.
And watching some of them games down there, boy, and the blood, the mud, and the beer. I got news for you guys. It don't get any better than that. Being in them elements, I remember the last game I went down, a playoff game with the Indianapolis Colts and Cleveland Browns. I had Carhartts on. I was double-sided with my flasks. I was ready to rock and roll.
Nice.
I'm saying no dome.
No dome. Hey, where were you last night? Where'd you watch it?
I watched it at home.
Oh, man. What was the temperature there last night?
It was 30s.
No, in your home, inside your house, like 75?
Oh. I tried to make it as cold as it was outside.
Man, you should have opened all the doors. You should shovel your living room. That's what we should all do. Thank you, Mike. Well, have a good weekend, it, man.
That's my thing with this, is everybody who's like, oh, snow football, you can't beat it, probably wasn't there. And especially wasn't it at that New Orleans Saints game where even the local Grizzly Bears were probably like, forget it, I'm not sitting out in this nonsense.
Let's go to Jeff in Buffalo. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
All right, Jeff.
Hey, great, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. Are you anti-dome or are you pro-dome now after last night's game?
I am anti-dome, knowing that it's full well and coming. Season ticket holder since 2001.
Yeah.
I was at the game last night.
Sweet. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Well,
real fan, man. Real fan. Okay.
I had my wet attire in the back of my vehicle on my way back to Buffalo. I was the only one out of my four season ticket holder members. My uncle, my son, he's got school, so he couldn't come. And my two brothers wouldn't come because they were done with the season and like, oh, we don't want to look forward to this game. That's AFC North football, guys. I had people from across the country. I had a guy in Seattle I went to high school with. People from all over texting me, are you there? Are you there? I said, hell yeah, I'm there. And people videotaping it. The photos, Jameson going to do the Snow Angels after the game with the Thursday Night Football crew, them doing the Snow Angels. That is AFC football. You guys can't tell me
that
you want the dome over that.
Hey, Jeff, I want the dome over that. I'm going to be honest with you. I still want the dome over that. You know why? How old are you, Jeff?
I'm 48.
You're 48. So let's just say you make it to 88. And you're going to turn around and you're going to see old highlights of that game from last night, Jeff. And you were going to say, I was there. I was at that game. And it's going to be a proud moment because you're going to be like, oh, my God, the Browns won all these games inside. I can't guarantee wins inside a dome. But, yeah, remember when they used to play outside? Yeah, I remember those days. And, Jeff, you'll be able to tell your ancestor or your future generations you were there. Congratulations, Jeff. Thank you. And if you're from Buffalo and you're thinking, well, my new stadium's great, you know, how good are those games that end up getting moved to Detroit?
Uh-huh.
Right? Because you can't play. Like, I still can't believe Buffalo's going to build a new stadium that's going to be, what, outdoor? What?
Yeah, they're doing it like the, if you've been down to, what is it, lower.com field down in Columbus, they have almost like the roof covering the fans, but the field is going to be wide open.
Oh, that's not real football. Fans should be exposed if you want to be outside.
Yeah, like it's going to be one of those deals.
Not lame fans like me that want to be inside a dome. That's insane. Ben is in Cleveland. Ben, you pro-dome, anti-dome?
I am anti-dome, guys.
Just because of last night? Just because of last night?
Were you at the stadium last night watching the game?
I was not, but let me tell you, I'm a new Clevelander. I love the Browns.
Good.
And I'll say this. Michael Stanley, he sings it in his song in the cold and rain when his father took him to his very first game. That is Browns football right there, fellas.
That is.
And putting a dome in, that's not it.
And I hate to say it.
Starts a song better than Misery.
That's true. And thank God for the man that put the white lines on the highway, too. We can't forget about them. And I can tell you, as somebody that worked with Michael for years, I don't know how he would feel about it, but I miss the days that he could walk in. But I bet you if I offered Michael a ticket next to me in the new dome, he'd be sitting right next to me. And we could talk about all those days before, you know, modern appliances. All those days. Michael, hey, do you remember when we had to go in the backyard and use the Odd House? Oh, it was so awesome. That was AFC North bathroom going. Let me tell you, it was amazing.
My favorite thing too, and this will tick some people off, is all the people who, when I make that, well, they'll go, well, you know, what about the ice bowl? Have you gone back and watched the ice bowl in the last like 5 years? It's horrendous. It's really bad football.
I'm telling you, the game against the Saints last year literally iced every feeling that I've ever had about not wanting to watch any more games outside this late in the year.
There was no point in having it. It was unwatchable football. It was completely unwatchable.
Now, do I wish that we were getting a retractable dome? Yes, I do. I really do.
Yeah, I'm not paying that.
I want them to play outside. I do. I don't really want them to go inside. I don't. I'll be honest. If I had my way, it'd be a retractable dome right in downtown Cleveland.
But I do.
Sometimes you got to compromise.
Put it in there. Put it to where you don't have to sit there the whole time going, well, we brought in a new kicker. He's going to have to figure out the Phil Dawson flag, and he's going to need 28 pairs of shoes to figure out how the field is. No, that's nonsense. Just make it so that it is a neutral site, and the loudness of your crowd is what dictates what is happening and the ability that the loudness of a dome can have. Let that be the case. Hmm. Don't do this whole thing of, well, you know, the wind is whipping all these different directions.
Well, you got to have a kicker to that.
You got to have a good kicker to do it, and Chris Boswell might not be able to. Well, your guy can hardly handle it, too.
Jeffrey's in Chesterland. Hello, Jeffrey. Home of those West G Wolverines. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Good day. Good victory day.
Good voice, man. He's right. Some good pipes right there. Yep. Keep
hey,
going,
I
Jeff.
Should be on radio.
You should there be, yeah.
I am. All right, here we go. dome, anti-dome. Okay, you got the dome, but you got that fake grass. I mean, unless you do something.
You know, they
like
can put it. Real grass in there. I've seen it. They can do it.
Well,
it's
Arizona.
Possible.
Arizona has the grass that rolls out.
Yeah, there's a
Jeffrey,
bunch of places.
I can grow pot in a closet. You don't think we can grow grass in a dome? I'm sorry. If I can grow weed in a closet, we can grow grass in a dome.
You're saying you know
that's
people.
Good,
hypothetically.
Yeah, hypothetically.
Good lighting. It'll be good lighting. But I'm sort of anti-dome. I just want I want to be outdoors. I can't stand watching football games indoors.
I'm not going to disagree. There is a sterile feeling sometimes to watching games inside. I'll be honest with you.
I mean,
although I will tell you, in Dallas, I didn't feel like that game was very sterile. I mean, the roof is so far away that you don't even think about it. But, originally when I would go, like Ford Field felt kind of sterile to me. It did, especially the first time I went in there. So,
but you got those games just like the, you know, back in the day, the Red Right 88, the 14 degrees out,
yeah.
Stuff like that. I mean,
there's
fun.
A reason, though, that we want to make reference to back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
well, it's only eight games. It's only, you know.
That's the problem, though, that we only play,
hours.
That we only use that building like 15 times a year. Last night I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, well, maybe 10 times a year we'll use this place. So thank you, Jeffrey. Appreciate
really
it.
Really nice to have Pearl Jam rolling on their latest tour, or we can have football outside. Multi-purpose building where we can have both or only have one.
Wow, listen to Menigan getting philosophical. Chris is in Lakewood. Hello, Chris.
All right, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's your thought?
I'm not really pro-dome or anti-dome. You know, I think a retractable roof is ideal, but I just wanted to say I went to the game last night. I had a great time. There's
are
a 7-year-old, probably maybe 8-year-old. Was it?
You still feel all your digits?
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling great. I come.
Yeah, that
up,
wasn't even close to the coldest game
oh,
ever.
Oh, I know. It's not that one, but you know this. You get wet, and it's just miserable when you're wet, no matter how cold it is outside. Anyway,
you know, I thought spirits were high. There was probably like a 70, 80-year-old guy in front of me without pants on. He was wearing shorts. He was having a great time. It was great walking back. The Steelers fans, just miserable and cold, having to go back to Pittsburgh. They were all huddled up in the bathroom at halftime. I saw a lot of fans not wanting to do it. And then I was thinking about the dome. And when we get these winter games against, like, Miami or something, these fans are going to come up. They're going to fly into Cleveland. They're going to be right across the street from the dome at the airport.
Right.
And then they're not going to – it's going to be a pleasant experience for them. And I kind of like that these fans have to come and, like, you know
– and be miserable.
Like, Clevelanders are built for it.
Yeah, like back in the day when we played the Steelers, thank you, Chris, and people would go out and slash tires. Oh, that was real football. That was AFC Central football. None of this AFC North stuff. Those are for wimps.
So I'm going to boil that call down to the fact that we don't like toilets. That's really it. That's what I'm taking from that. Toilets!
Cleveland's in Cleveland. Cleveland?
Yes. And I'm old school, and I'm a hard worker from this city, like most of the men and women in this city. And,
yeah.
I don't want no dome, man. I don't want it. I want
because
to,
hard. You
I
know what? Those hardworking those hardworking jobs that are going to be created to build a dome. That's bad, man. We don't want that. We don't need jobs.
All right, that's, yeah, look, we've gone a couple bridges. That one might be a bridge too far.
Go ahead.
I'd rather have it built downtown around the businesses that were established and got the little money that they got when we play football, and you can walk to everything in the city that most cities don't have when you're downtown, 15 minutes from everything. I don't want a dome. I want my stadium. I want the snow, and I want it to be rough, cold, and hurtful.
Yeah. Where'd you sit last night, Cleve? What section were you in?
Huh?
What section were you in last night? You sound like you just enjoyed the nitty-gritty of last night's game while you're sitting at the game.
I was at home watching that, and I couldn't even see on the TV hardly anything because of the blizzard, and I was so happy. I was so happy.
But of course you were. You weren't sitting in it.
Hey, did you open the doors and let that cold air in so you felt like you were at the game even? Or
did you shovel your living room?
No, and that's not the whole point.
Oh, man.
Because I'm 67. I'm not opening nothing. I'm going to sit there and watch that game and enjoy the fact that we did what we did in the cold, in the rough.
Yeah.
Like we go to work every day.
Cleveland, man, next time. I bet. Cleveland, what kind of TV do you have, man? What kind of TV do you have? Nice one?
Oh, no. I have a little 19-inch.
Little 19? How about next time? Yeah, let's do this. Let's get, like.
You know, it had the Roku with it and everything.
Oh, so you're cool. You can go anywhere. You watch Roku. That's perfect. So, listen, next time, here's what I want you to do, especially when it's like, I don't know, 5 degrees outside. I want you to take that TV, plug in that Roku, take out a nice lawn chair, and sit outside and watch the game. That way you can feel like you're there.
I do that all the time when I cook on my porch.
Well, that'll work. No, but I want you to feel it, though, Cleveland. Thank you. Feel the excitement. Go outside. Put your TV outside, man, while it's like 30. And when it's raining and snowing, oh, just sit outside so you can really be a Browns fan. That'd be awesome. It's the only way to watch a game. Tim May is coming up at 1 o'clock. I can't wait to talk to him. We're going to talk about Ohio State and Indiana. Plus, we're going to talk a little bit more Browns. I know everyone wants to hop in on this conversation about last night's game and how it influences. This is why we don't need a dome, because they were able to win in that kind of weather. 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Things going back there today. You've had to take a lot of heat, especially about folks talking about the dome today. You are the gatekeeper to this show. Pride of Kenston. Come on, man. You got to help me out here, will you please?
There's been a lot of choice words back here.
You've been good? I mean, like, are you holding your own on this thing? I mean, it's...
Oh, absolutely.
It'd be rough back there.
It hasn't been too bad. I've heard worse.
Okay, good. And has your life changed since you started? How long have you been at the station, just out of here?
3 weeks.
3 weeks? Has your life changed? Do you feel like it's been, you know, just this amazing moment in your life that you're now here, and I'm sure people come up, ask for your autograph and stuff now?
So. I'm living the dream. Doing exactly what I've always wanted to do.
All right. Give a shout out to your family here. We can say what's up.
Shout out mom, Sophia, my sister, finally coming home from the from college for Thanksgiving.
There you go. Yeah. Little family affair. All right. So we're glad you're on board, and always local guy. We like local guys, right?
Absolutely.
Especially the guy from Wisconsin. We're good with that too. Or is that just your family?
Just family.
Okay.
Cleveland's home.
A guy you wouldn't want over for Thanksgiving, I think, is George Pickens. After last night, he's probably... Oh, we never answered. I never asked you the same question that I asked BA.
What?
Turkey, overrated, underrated? Of course, it's way more important.
Depending on how you make it. If you're just going to throw it in the oven, it's as overrated as it comes. If you're going to smoke it, it's outstanding. I haven't done the air fryer thing. We've never done the deep fryer where you know, if it's a frozen, you can light your garage on fire. We've never done that route, so... Hmm. Or the air fryer that direction either. But yeah, smoked turkey, I'm all in. If you're just throwing it in the oven.
You deep fry, it's pretty quick, right? It's only like a half hour or something.
I've never done it. I can't tell you.
How long is it? Anyone know? I don't know. I'm sure someone knows.
I'm sure someone knows.
We have friends that deep fry turkey. I don't know. I'm just not. Is it me? And I've been this way for 13 years. If you ever listen, I'm not a huge turkey fan. Not. I mean, I'll eat it, but I'm always, you know, you eat so much before and there's so many great sides and there's always like. And so when it comes time and the plate of turkey's coming around around Thanksgiving, you're kind of like, I'll have a little bit of that. That's it. I can't overeat turkey. I'll be honest. There's a lot of people we know that can overeat turkey. Like I like a good turkey sandwich every once in a while, but I Gerard Cherry last night was talking like he was Bubba from Forrest Gump. You know, you can deep fry it, you can bake it, you can toast it. I don't know. He was coming up with a million different ways to make
turkey.
That's great. And so we were laughing. It actually cost him the medal this week for Fact or Fiction, which we now hand out a trophy each week. So you might want to listen to the pregame show, the network pregame show, which is a lot of fun. But I think it's kind of overrated. I'm not going to lie. Not going to lie. Now, sides, they'll never be underrated. So, all right, let me go back to what I was talking about. George Pickens, right? So yesterday, at the end of the game in the fourth quarter, I'm like trying to figure out what's going on between that and that insane, like, is this going to be fourth down and two or is this going to be third down and seven play? How confusing was that?
Yeah, because I
don't get to hear the network announcers. So maybe it was I was listening to the radio call, but it was off by a little bit because I was listening on the app and I was trying to watch on a monitor that wasn't the TV monitor. It was a scoreboard monitor yesterday towards the end of the game. Can you explain to me what happened there? And then I want to get into the pick and stuff.
I'm still trying to figure out exactly what took place. So,
I think, what Mike Tomlin said, and that he thought, well, since the Browns were going to go for it on 4th and 2, why not give them an extra down in this bad weather and let's go back to 3rd and 7 and decline? But well, first he accepted, then he declined. Then he
yeah, so that was the thought. But then I thought I read. I'm still trying to figure out that whole thing.
I mean, isn't there like
so
final
by
like,
all of it?
When the official comes over, isn't it like final answer? I don't know how that you can go back and forth on it. And so we don't know what the conversation was that went back and forth on it, but it was kind of weird. Okay, let's just go into Pickens, though, because that's really what I want to talk about, and I want to hear from him. I mean, afterwards, I'm reading all the stuff about, he's like, Cleveland's not a good team, and Greg Newsom's a fake tough guy, and let's blame the officials. Pickens is just like, man, I'm sorry. He's drawing a ton of attention to himself, and I don't know. If you like watching, kids yell at each other after school, I guess he's great, but I'm just not a big Pickens fan. What do you say after the game? Well,
yeah, here's Steelers wide receiver George Pickens after the game.
What do you guys try to take away from this loss? What's the message, in the locker room?
Just keep grinding. Like I said, conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
That's it, yeah, because they're a really good, bad condition team, and we're a really bad condition team. Is that what that is? What does that mean? You're going to call out a team that beat you after the game and scored more points than you did.
This is so George Pickens.
And, they're not a good team. Well, it's funny. I feel the same way against Cincinnati, but I'm not playing. And,
this is so Pickens. Yeah. This is what he does. Yeah. He is one of those guys who is a perpetual irritant. He looks for flags on every single play. He is always trying to start fights. He is always complaining to someone about something. He's just that kind of guy. And it got brought up what happened to Greg Newsom, who was going back and forth with Pickens during the game, and especially at the tail end of it, that Hail Mary, that got a little bit ugly. Here's what Newsom had to say.
I don't think they respected us. I don't think a lot of teams respect us. So for us to, come out here on Thursday Night Football and get a win was huge for us.
Yeah, two-win teams don't get a whole lot of respect, do they? I mean, why would you? New Orleans went for it early, right?
Yeah,
on fourth down, early at like the 50-yard line the week before. Yeah, no one respects you. You have two wins.
Yeah,
you got to earn respect.
Newsom then went on to call Pickens a fake tough guy.
I like that though. Like, I think pitchers are guys, bullpen guys. I think they're fake tough guys too. You know why? Because they come running out of the bullpen and then they're out of breath by the time they get the infield and they're like, I'm like, why don't you guys just fight in the bullpen? If you really want to fight, just go fight in the bullpen. Let's get the bullpens. And right now, the bullpens are so close to each other, especially here. Just go at it out there. I got no problem with that.
There is a reason why that dude fell to the second round, and you're seeing it. And Mike Tomlin is doing everything in his power to try to keep the train on the tracks with him the same way he did with another former wide receiver who is way off the deep end, and also a running back who has voiced numerous complaints over a lot of times as well. This is how the Steelers operate. They'll bring these guys in and they'll hope to, with our culture and the Steeler way, be able to muzzle's a really bad way to put it, and I don't like saying that, but be able to back off some of the things that are being said. And that's
just
so
not,
that was him at Georgia.
Can we be honest? It's just not Mike Tomlin.
It's
like, I don't
bad luck, man. You lost. It's okay. It happens. You lost. You don't have to sit there and go, well, it was the elements. That's why we lost. No, we lost because we didn't play well enough. We lost because our defense wasn't able to cover Jerry Jeudy on a fourth down. We lost because we were not able to tackle when we needed to get tackles. And we lost because our offense didn't operate at a level that it needed to be to beat this Browns team.
And by the way, I didn't realize this until I was watching CBS that, Mike Tomlin, for all the great that he is, and I think he's the second greatest coach in Steelers history behind Chuck Knoll, that he's 0-48, or there was 0-48 going into last night. So was he 0-48? Maybe it happened last night. He's 0-48, the team is, under Mike Tomlin when they're down 12 or more points in the fourth quarter. So they're not exactly a comeback team with Mike Tomlin.
We lost because Myles Garrett came out with a vengeance, and we didn't have a way to stop him.
Oh, you're being a Steeler guy. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's it. That's the truth of the matter. Like, instead of doing this whole thing of, you know, it was the elements, it's like, no. You probably would have won that game if you would have found a better way to slow down Myles Garrett, who was clearly on a tear and was going to send a serious message to TJ Watt, to the league itself, to everybody who came out after the Saints game and said, well, Myles Garrett didn't, you know, get any stat whatsoever in that game. That was a message. That was a message sender.
How about having your defense cover Jerry Jeudy last night? That might have helped, especially late, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
You know, you got beat by Jameis Winston, who had never played in a game under 40 degrees and never played against you. That's really the reality of this whole thing. You got beat by Jameis Winston. Boom. Do I need to say more? I'll drop the mic at that point.
We lost. And if anybody's going to push you any further, you can always go with, hey, on any given Sunday, they have a game plan that can beat us.
Tim May, Letterman Row, Ohio State, Indiana. Massive matchup tomorrow at the Shoe. We'll talk about it next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.